Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. We're here to challenge the issues of health in our life. I believe that there is more than enough orthodox mainstream science to support the healthiest of all natural lifestyles. And historically, at least during my entire career, there has been an argument, don't trust anything that's natural and does not come from a peer-reviewed journal. Only trust the science. Okay. So virtually everything I share every day and have throughout my career has come from the science. So then the question is, if all the information I'm sharing comes from orthodox science, the National Library of Medicine, why is it that the people in this audience are aware of it and benefiting from it, but the vast majority of people are simply looking to see what happens as long as they just do everything in moderation? Now think of that for a moment. So you moderately eat, but you're overweight. Then what is your perception of moderate? You drink, but you don't drink to get drunk. So that's moderate. It still kills millions of brain, kidney, liver, and heart cells with every drink. You're taking in something that's a plasticizing agent, a nanoparticle, that will lodge in your biochemistry and your fat tissue, pesticides in moderation, like glyphosate, shown to cause over 13 different types of cancer. So the whole idea of doing things in moderation is foolish, is completely counterintuitive. Now, believe it or not, and those of you who are older can believe this because you experienced it, younger people, well, they won't. Certainly they won't have the same appreciation because they didn't have the same experience. But I can remember when one of the most important debates was on a national television, ABC out of Chicago, and I debated back in, I believe it was 1972, a top person from the AMA on, do we need fiber? And his argument was, well, cattle and pigs need fiber, but we get plenty. We didn't. I happen to have the statistics that we were getting less than 5 grams a day. That was leading to constipation, infection and inflammation in the intestines. And yet, that topic, do we have enough fiber, was not considered legitimate. And yet, look at the people who are healthy who didn't have constipation, diverticulitis, ileitis, spastic colon, Crohn's. Those are people eating a healthier diet. So I'm merely saying this because today we have more than enough information from the peer-reviewed journal, from real science, to show that you should be living a lot longer than what you're living. I'm not talking about a few years. I'm talking about at least 20 years in good health without disease. In fact, I'll challenge the mainstream scientific community. Show me the proof that what you call aging is normal aging. I'll show that it's premature aging. And therefore, the diseases of premature aging are ones that we bring upon ourselves, including dementia and Alzheimer's, and diabetes and heart disease and cancers, with rare exception. I share that with you because when people say, well, where'd you get that information? Just look at my footnotes. It's all there. For example, today I'm going to talk about chickpeas, black seed oil, reducing social media, the long COVID on our body, exposure to green space, and long-term exposure to nitrates. All of these come from mainstream peer-reviewed journals on library medicine. For example, two universities, the Nanjing University and Jinan University in China, found that chickpea extract is a prebiotic and is very good in relationship to the short-chain fatty acid benefits in the microflora, meaning the good bacteria in your gut. Why? Because they found that there's a chemical in chickpeas called sisritol, and it has prebiotic potential, and it can boost the microflora of the colon and promote the production of short-chain fatty acids, which protect you. And that's all good. In lay language, chickpeas can promote prebiotics, which are good for your intestine and help prevent pathogenic bacterial species. How about that? So That's another study that we don't hear about. Now, one thing that should be in everyone's cupboard or refrigerator, I mean everyone, black cumin seed oil, or it's also called just black seed oil. In this case, this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Phytotherapeutic Research. They found that it puts deadly asthma medications to shame. That's right. The study reveals a powerful little black seed known as nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A, may provide a powerful alternative to pharmaceutical medicine in the treatment of asthma. Now, the pharmaceutical companies might not like this, but you should. This is an extremely promising for millions of chronic asthma sufferers who are still taking medications like the long-acting beta agonist, which the FDA warned actually increased the risk of dying from asthma. Not unusual. Statin drugs do the same as far as their risk-benefit. I would never take those. A new study was a placebo-controlled study. They used a group of asthmatics, and half the group got placebos, half got black cumin seed oil. And by the way, it's been used all over the world traditionally to turn off inflammation of all kinds. They used just 500 milligrams twice a day for 4 weeks, and the placebo group used olive oil. Well, the outcome was substantial. Compared to the placebo, the black cumin seed oil showed significant improvement in the mean asthma control test. So that's good. So if you have asthma, consider the randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial that shows that it works better than any medication with no side effects. On a separate issue from Swansea University in the United Kingdom, reducing social media by just 15 minutes a day can improve your health. That's new research shows that reducing social media just a little bit can significantly improve general health and immune function and reduce levels of loneliness and depression. This was published in the Journal of Technology and Behavior Science. It was conducted by Professor Phil Reed and a group of scientists from the University Faculty of Medicine and Health Sciences. So they looked at all this over a three-month period and thought people are just using too much social media. What are the consequences? So if they say reducing it by 15% of social media can improve immune function, including fewer colds, fewer flu, a 50% improvement in sleep quality, 50% improvement, and 30% fewer depressive symptoms, what would getting rid of an hour do? Well, they haven't done that study yet, but the less you use social media, the better. From the University of Sao Paulo in Brazil, they found that long COVID is directly related to physical inactivity. This is one of the many problems of long COVID. I'm helping people who've had long COVID, including one of the leading immunologists in the United States. And now it's turning around. They're able to get over long COVID. Yes, you can get over it, as long as you know the protocols. In any case, the link between symptoms of COVID-19 and physical inactivity is increasingly evident. An article just published in the journal Scientific Reports by researchers at the university in Brazil described a study in which COVID-19 survivors with at least one persistent symptom of the disease were 57% more likely to be sedentary in the presence of five or more post-acute sequela of infection, increased the odds of physical inactivity by 138%, which is one more reason that we have to understand you got to move your muscles. I just watched someone yesterday who had not been walking because of morbid obesity and pain, got into a swimming pool and was able to walk. I said, you see, that benefits you because the water is so buoyant, it's taking the pressure off the musculature. And you're using the muscles, you're using your aerobic capacity, you're increasing oxygenation, but without the pain and the stress. So whatever you have to do, stationary bicycle, you've got to put in exercise every day, especially with long COVID. In fact, an editorial in Nature Medicine reported in that 3 out of every 4 patients hospitalized because of COVID had at least one persistent symptom 6 months after discharge. That was the long COVID. And also we're finding the virus and or the immune system reacting to the viral residual in the body 2 years afterwards. We were told this is all out of the body in a couple of weeks. It's not true. And comorbidities were significant. So if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, if you're obese, your risk factors for long COVID increase substantially. So get yourself into shape as best you can and look for the protocols. I'll be announcing more on the protocols on an upcoming program. From the University of California at Irvine and Peking Union Medical College, exposure to green space, nature, the trees, the shrubs, all that is important. And it's linked to reducing the risk of postpartum depression. They looked at 415,000 records and found of people, and they found that those who spent more time in nature had a decreased risk of postpartum depression. This was published in the Lancet Regional Health Journal. Also, long-term exposure to nitrates in drinking water can be a risk factor for prostate cancer. This comes from Barcelona Institute for Global Health, which is in Spain. So when you have a glass of water, or even bottled water, you could be at risk for prostate cancer, particularly in the case of aggressive tumors in younger men. This is a brand new study, and it's the conclusion of this study that was led by the Barcelona Institute for Global Health, and they're published in Environmental Health Perspectives, the peer-reviewed journal. So try filtering your water. Reverse osmosis would be the best. Or simply have your water tested to see if it has this. And if it doesn't, good, then drink that water. The research found that eating plenty of fiber, fruit, and vegetable, and vitamin C can reduce the negative effect of nitrate in drinking water. The aim of the study was to assess whether there was an association between the ingestion of waterborne nitrate and THMs and the risk of prostate cancer. And the answer is yes. So try to get the cleanest, healthiest water you can. That's the latest on health and healing. I have a lot more coming at you. And by the way, for those, some people just want to hear the health nutrition segment, and that's fine. But other people want to go into the other topics, and I've selected some topics today that are impacting us on all levels. And I think you're going to want to hear what I got to share. We have some exclusives today, and at least on radio. So we're going to take a brief break. And remember, a lot of stuff that you don't hear on the radio, you can go get by going to GaryNoll.com, and a lot of programs that you don't know about, you can learn by going to PRN.live. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome you all over the world because we're heard worldwide. You'd be surprised at how many people listening from African countries. There are 54 countries in Africa, and we have listenership all over the world. We have a group of doctors that listen each day on their lunch or whenever they do listen, but they're listening daily in Ireland. And we get feedback all the time. That's why I try to select topics that make a difference everywhere. And that's why I'm not a community-based program. Remember, when I created the Progressive Radio Network, I didn't create the conservative radio network, the liberal radio network, the right-left radio network, the ideological. No. And in my term, progressive means something my mother taught me. My mother was very liberal. My father was, he was moderately liberal and quiet. My mom wasn't. And she thought through things. And she said, what you need in life is the truth, wherever the truth is. But remember, there's two truths. You're always going to be confronted with selecting which one is important and which one is real for you. Individual truths, and then universal truths. She said, as a person of faith, she believed in universal truths. So if you care about women, then you have to care about all women all over the world, not just the women in your family, women in your culture. If you care about children, you have to care about all children and not just your own. And until you understand the huge difference between universal truths and individual truths, then you're going to be manipulated by those in power to believe that what they say is the truth. And look at how that's playing out today. Virtually everything on every topic we've been led to believe was true has been lies. And that's why I call it progressive. And by the way, just to give you an idea, how many people who call themselves liberal, call themselves progressive, are not. It's just a moniker for them. I've sent every member of Congress, I've sent Rachel Maddow, I've sent all over the media and the groups, I've sent white papers. Now, these are very scholarly. They're fully referenced. They're non-political. And here are the topics that I believe in. So if you want to know who I am and what my beliefs are, look at my life. It's all there. Go to GaryNall.com and look at the achievements. Everything is there by third persons, not me. Here are the things I'd like you to see. Do you believe we would have a better world if we had people cared about us instead of themselves making money from their political power positions if we implemented these? Then call me. I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. First and foremost, we should have universal health care. If we have universal health care, and I've written a paper on it, go to my articles. I'm approaching 1,000 articles published. Go to my articles, and I lay it all out with actual scholarship and details and citations. That we're spending $4 trillion now, we would spend under $2 trillion and get much better health care. Because this also would mean that we would only be using in medical schools and curriculum and in practice therapies that have been proven to be beneficial without being toxic. None of that exists today. But I do support emergency medicine. I think we have the best emergency medicine in the world, hands down. But it's chronic care we fail miserably at. And yet no one within or outside of medicine has had any discussion on this. Even when it's shown to be number one in death and injury, nothing happens. The AMA said it was number three. Okay, so you're saying behind stroke and heart attack, maybe cancer, medical errors are the third leading cause of death in the United States. Then show me. Since over 10 years ago, the AMA published that article and went to all the physicians, show me which medical practice has changed. None. Which drugs are not being used? Zip. So we'll say something is wrong and not do a damn thing about it. What does that tell you? So if we had universal health care and we emphasize programs based upon good science, then we're going to have a preventative program first in every community, every school in the United States. Here's what prevents disease. Here's a healthy diet. Here's an unhealthy diet. And that then would challenge what has been done on television. You can bet that every lobbyist in America would be sticking money by the shovelful into the bank accounts of every politician. Some would say no. A handful are ethical. The rest, that's why nothing good ever gets done in Washington. But we need universal health care where no one can go broke, no one ends up with personal debt, and yet gets the highest quality medical care in the world. And I sent this article everywhere, every member of Congress. Next, create a realistic, honest, and ethical way of approaching the environment to protect it so we don't have any more disasters that we could have prevented. And I go through that. It's almost a 60-page report. I've sent it out. It's been there for people to review. It's realistic. Start using things that don't pollute to get it. Like a electrical car, you're going to use more materials and more people are going to be put into slave labor conditions, especially in Nigeria and other places in Africa, where you'll have 15 to 20,000 people work in one mine with their hands and shovels, including six-year-old kids, so you can have the material that goes into your cell phone. But we should have on television, on one channel, a public access channel that shows the background on how every product is made. Where does it come from? You can show organic food being grown that honors nature, is healthier, has more antioxidants, and enriches the soil, and you can have commercial farming that shows the depletion of the topsoil, too much nitrogen, the pollution going into the river, causing blooms in the Mississippi at the mouth. In fact, such a large bloom, it creates an oxygen debt area called a dead zone. There are over 400 dead zones. Anything goes in there is not going to have oxygen, so fish die by the billions. And yet not a single thing has been done. Not one single law has said, let's stop these artificial farming practices. But what if you had a way of looking? Just how's my clothes made? Oh, here's Bangladesh. Here's India. See those women? They have the shortest work lifespans in the world, 33 years of age. They're done. And look at what they have to go through. They're allowed to go to the bathroom twice a day. They have to work long hours. They're making 14 to 28 cents an hour. And 900 garments are produced each year. Why can't we see that? And then show something I support, which is the fact, not only do I support it, I went down and did classes for them because they were sitting so long and eating junk and they had diabetes. And over a period of 2 years, they lost this weight. They got healthy and saved a lot of lives. The Women's International Garment Union and I, they selected me and I was there for them. I saw how they work and was able to change. So imagine you're showing one group of people making a living wage and another group being exploited as slave labor. And then you show the brands that exploit them. Why can't we see that? Wouldn't you rather see that so you know what you're about to eat and how that chicken was raised? And then you show how organic is done. Now, I'm a vegan. But if you're not going to become a vegan, at least know the ethics that were used in raising your food. Isn't that a reasonable approach? Also, we could reforest. We could have a Marshall Plan to rebuild our forests to fight climate change. That would do more than anything that's going to be done in the world at all. You could have it start in the schools, and then the states would turn over lots of state land, the federal government, federal land, to regrow billions of trees. And fast-growing trees, and hemp, which grows faster and collects carbon as well. It's not being done, but it should be. Also, we should be using geothermal. That doesn't pollute. We should use ocean wave. That doesn't pollute. But there's no way for someone to profit from it. That's why Al Gore and these other people, they're fully aware of this. We could use bladeless wind turbines. They actually exist. When was the last time you saw anyone at any of these environmental conferences talking about it? They can create enough electricity for one home. And you don't hear them. They don't kill birds. They don't create noise. And they're not large. So you see, we have answers, but the answers cannot come from public-private partnerships of the federal government because there is no such thing as public. The public, meaning governmental agencies at every level, have been captured by the deep state and the deep corporate interest. So you have private-private. They profit, we lose. We should also have a national food program to see that the 30 million hungry children in the United States are fed every day healthy meals, not the junk that they feed in prisons and schools, the crap on airplanes, none of that. They should, if they want help, I'll give them help. After all, I created the first health program in the history of New York City with Gloria Swanson in the public schools in Harlem, and the kids loved it. Other schools then took note, and we gave the same protocols, and those kids had healthy, delicious food and that was vegan and spicing and tasting, and it was a success. But you have to keep on that. Otherwise, the vendors come in and boom, you're back to the junk crap. So why can't we help feed 30 million hungry children? Is that not noble? Is that not a good idea? Is that too radical? Once again, go back to what my mother said. If you care about children, you got to care about all children, not just your children out in Hollywood or in Wall Street or up in Connecticut or out in Long Island, the five towns. No, you got to care about all, but you don't, because otherwise you don't have not done a damn thing anywhere when it comes to the children in Yemen. We're talking about millions and millions of children. Hundreds of thousands have already died. In Haiti, I have a lot of people in Haiti listen to this radio program, and I support them. I'm not going to go into how or why, but ask who was the only journalist to attend the big demonstration in front of the Clinton office up in Harlem. I was. That wasn't by accident. Ask him who helped bring the first protocols for AIDS down, holistic protocols, down to Haiti. But I keep what I do behind the scenes in quiet. I don't need any publicity. Why can't we help these countries without first saying, we'll only help you if we can exploit you, so we'll give you a dollar, but we want 100 in return? That's the Clintons. That's the Bushes. That's the idiots in the White House. Name me one ethical president we've had. I'd like to know. Not in the last 100 years. It's all about who benefits from our largesse. So I care about children. I would ban trading in commodities that are essential to life, except where the originator, like the farmer, is given a living wage to support them, reduce and eliminate their debt, meaning take away their mortgages, and let them thrive if they use organic techniques, which are more than applicable to any farm in the United States. And then they have no debt, and we get locally grown food, then we get national food, and that's the only way to sustain a population that's growing, is with sustainable farming and take out the middlemen. Remember, the biggest companies in food, they don't grow anything, whether it's wiped out by a drought or flooded out, doesn't cost them anything. They make their money off other people's burdens. I say eliminate these people. So you take that excess profit out so farmers can go directly to stores and markets. Also, halt private funding of all elections. Take all money out of every election so the average person who wants to run for elected office can. Also, cut the Pentagon and spending by at least 60% because it's all profit and we get no more protection for it. It's just non-audible. Eliminate the CIA completely and hold those who've been accountable for acts against other countries accountable by life in prison without parole. All of them. Do that. We have 17 intelligence agencies. Close them all down. Fire all those bastards. And so at least we put into place one agency that is there to protect us. That's all we need. Everything else is just profit gouging. Also, revamp and reinstitutionalize the State Department. Get rid of all the politicians and political appointees and only have those individuals who have experience in foreign service who are there to be peacemakers. And revoke the Citizens United, reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act to allow a separation once again between savings banks and their loans versus the speculative investment banking. Eliminate all derivatives, credit default swaps, naked shorts, shorting of a stock. They shorted Tesla for $13 billion, and they're doing it again right now. Get rid of these parasites. Those are just some of the 100 progressive ideas that I've created, I believe in. So if you want to know who I am, that's who I am, all right? Now try compromising me on any issue. That's not going to work. Look for the truth, no matter where it is. Whoever's got the truth, we want to hear it. Open and honest debate and discussion. I'd like your ideas now. Do you agree or disagree with these? I don't censor people. 888-874-4888. While you're thinking about that, we're going to go to a clip. And I've got some interesting clips today. I'm going to give you the first, this is from, we're going to go first to Matt Gaetz, member of Congress. Some things I agree with him on, some I disagree with him on, but we rarely see this ever. You never hear anything from the media or the administration in power about their who in the military Secretary of Defense, the Chief, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Secretary of State, they all work together. And look at the disaster in Afghanistan. Not just that we shouldn't have been there at all, but that we were there for the wrong reasons. We did not help the Afghan people. We had nothing but corruption. Remember Karzai? Remember the last president who left as the Taliban were coming in, took a helicopter with allegedly some $100 million in cash and fled? Whatever happened to him? Whose money was that? That was the American people's money. Do we care? We don't care. They stole billions and billions of dollars. Anyone care? No one cared. We had one disastrous decision after another. We left over 100,000 people who work with the United States government against the Taliban, and we didn't erase their names. So the Taliban walked right into the offices. Nothing had been deleted, nothing destroyed. And they wanted to see who was working with the Americans, because these are the people that they're going to target and kill first. Every person that got a paycheck, it was duly recorded. Where they lived, their address, photograph of them, biometric material on them, and how much they made. So when people took off their uniforms and tried to melt into the public, they were stopped, photographed, and then analyzed. If they didn't have the right ID, they were shot. All the women and men killed. We have no idea. The media doesn't want to talk about it. They haven't done a story on it. Not a single story, as if that didn't matter. It mattered to the people we left behind, just like in Vietnam. So he's going, and now they're doing Ukraine, and the American public has not had one single major media tell the truth. Not one person's been willing to tell the truth that this is a criminal organization, that they've been fighting and killing by the thousands Russian-speaking Ukrainians living over at the side of Russia, and that they have been nonstop at war with in that area. We haven't shown any of the truth of why Russia is there. I'm opposed to Russia invading the country, but I'm also opposed to NATO. It should have been disbanded long ago. Here is him grilling these people. Tell me the last time you heard the top military people. And by the way, the Secretary of Defense, I'm sure you know, he came from Raytheon, one of the three largest military contractors. That company prospers, just like Dick Cheney's Halliburton. They prosper when a person goes into power as a policymaker. They make billions of dollars. Why don't we ever have someone who doesn't come from an industry in conflict of interest heading any agency? That would be too simple. Let's hear how he grills them.
February 26, 2020, House Armed Services Committee, General Mark Milley. We know we're not going to defeat the Taliban militarily, and they're not going to defeat the government of Afghanistan militarily. You really blew that call, didn't you, General?
I believe that that was an issue of strategic stalemate, and that if we had remained in Afghanistan with the advisory levels of effort, then the government of Afghanistan...
Well, that's an interesting answer to a question. It's just not one I asked. You spent more time with Bob Woodward on this book than you spent analyzing the very likely prospect that the Afghanistan government was going to fall immediately to the Taliban, didn't you?
Not even close, Congressman.
Oh, really? Because you said right after Kabul fell that no one could have anticipated the immediate fall of the Ghani government. When did you become aware that Joe Biden tried to get Ghani to lie about the conditions in Afghanistan? He did that in July. Did you know that right away?
I'm not aware of what President Biden...
You're not aware of the phone call that Biden had with Ghani where he said, whether it is true or not, we want you to go out there and paint a rosy picture of what's going on in Afghanistan. You're the chief military advisor to the president. You said that the Taliban was not going to defeat the government of Afghanistan militarily, which, by the way, they cut through him like a hot knife through butter. And then the president tries to get Ghani to lie. When did you become aware of that attempt?
Well, there's two things there, Congressman, if I may. One is what I said was the situation was stalemate, and if we kept advisors with there, the government of Afghanistan and the army would have still been there. That's what I said. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But
it seems wrong now with
well,
the Taliban.
We withdrew all the
question
we
for
withdrew
Secretary all the Austin. Secretary Austin, are you capable of assessing whether another has the will to fight?
No, we're not. And that's the point that the chairman made earlier. So.
That's just like an incredibly disappointing thing for the Secretary of Defense to simply say, I can't assess whether someone has the will to fight, but it is consistent with your record. I mean, during the Obama administration, I think they gave you about $48 million to go train up some folks in Syria to go take on the Assad government, and I think your testimony was that only 4 or 5 survived first contact with the enemy. So what confidence should this committee have in you, or should the country have in you, when you've now confessed to us, and whether it's the swing and a miss in Afghanistan that General Milley talked to the Senate about yesterday, total failure, or whether it was your failures in Syria, you don't seem capable to look at a fighting force and determine whether or not they have the will.
Well,
is that an embarrassing?
You recall, Congressman, that the end result was the SDF that we stood up that was very, very instrumental in turning the tide of battle up in Syria.
Oh, yeah. Turned it so much. You've got Assad in power in Syria. You got the Taliban in power in Afghanistan. I mean, where have you been?
The focus was ISIS, Congressman, and we and those forces had significant effect on the ISIS network.
It just seems like you're chronically bad at this, and you have admitted that, I guess, which is to your credit. But you know, when people in the military, like Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, stand up and demand accountability. When they say that you all screwed up, when they point out that General Milley's statement that that the government of Afghanistan is not going to get defeated by the Taliban, well, he ends up in the brig, and you all end up in front of us, and your former employer Raytheon ends up with a lot of money, and we have poured cash and blood and credibility into a Ghani government that was a mirage. It fell immediately. And while the guy sitting next to you was off, you know, talking to Phil Rucker and was off doing his thing with Bob Woodward, we were buying into the big lie that this was ever going to be successful and that we could ever rely on the Afghanistan government for anything at all. You know, General Milley, you kind of gave up the game earlier when you said you wanted to address elements of your personal conduct that were in question. We're not questioning your personal conduct. We're questioning in your official capacity going and undermining the chain of command, which is obviously what you did. You've created this whole chain
of communication narrative. Did not undermine the chain of command in
any
manner,
shape, or form. You absolutely did. And
it, did not.
Well, you know what? You said yesterday that you weren't going to resign when senators asked you this question. And I believe that you guys probably won't resign. You seem to be very happy failing up over there. But if we didn't have a president that was so addled, you all would be fired, because that is what you deserve. You have let down the people who wear the uniform in my district and all around this country. And you're—
Okay, that's just one legislator challenging the most powerful people in the military-industrial complex and the deep state. But if you notice, no one from the deep state, no one from Homeland Security, the CIA, the National Security Agency, all of whom have a long history of crimes against humanity in intervening in over 80 different countries' democratically elected governments, killing up to 20 million people since World War II till now in their different conflicts, meaning what they've done in changing regimes. And we seem to be on the wrong side of every single regime change in the world. We supported Saudi Arabia even today, even though it's a humanitarian nightmare for women and gays. Not a word. Not a single person being held accountable. What does that tell you? Now, why wasn't this question asked of Gates? Why didn't you ask, Mr. Gates, why didn't you ask the general, defense secretary, and secretary of state, when Hillary Clinton was testifying under oath and saying that, you know, what could be done and we couldn't have done anything, and yet now we know for a fact that there were multiple American military forces that could have gotten there in time to have rescued those people who were killed. But why was it was never asked, what was this Ambassador Stevens doing at a closed embassy? Why? Well, now we know. Because he was there to usher all of Gaddafi's weapons in through Benghazi in boats going over to Syria to fund who? Terrorists. The Syrian Free Army. Those were terrorists, just like the White Helmets. And that meant that the United States would be culpable of having to show that it was, on the one hand, having a war on terror, on the other hand, arming the terrorists, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, and of course, ISIS got these in the process because they're all interlinked. Yeah, we can't tell the truth about anything, and those of us who get the truth, there's no forum that we can share it with because the mainstream media doesn't want to hear these truths. You want to know another truth that is going to scare people? And this is brand new, brand new. I'm going to go to Laura Ingraham, who I disagree with on almost all things, but on this one, she got it right, and she's got something here that you need to hear. And I'll tell you why you need to hear it, because you haven't heard this before. This is brand new information. If you thought COVID was bad, what if I told you that they already have, and COVID was shown by all epidemiology to be 1% fatal, 1%. Okay. But you're going to hear an MD, PhD expert who can confirm that they already have viruses genetically engineered to be 20%, 29%, 10%, and even 60% fatal. If you were able to cause 7 million people worldwide to die with 1% fatality, what would you get at 60%? You would decimate the entire world. The civilization would stop. Because it's not just those who would die, it's all the people who would be injured, just like with long COVID now. And yet, where is the voice exploring this and exposing it and shutting them all down? Shut down every bio and hold those people accountable. And who's behind all this? You guessed it, Anthony Fauci. And we're going to hear two people. One thing I never thought I would see. I never thought I would see this. The head of the CDC, a virologist, is yesterday under oath telling the committee, as you will see, that Anthony Fauci and Collins, who headed U.S. Public Health Service, as overall all the agencies, kept him out of the loop, refused to have information given to him, to come to meetings, to have conversations with him. No one knew this because he said that you've got to look at where this came from. In all probability, it came from a laboratory, and he was in communication with the head of the Chinese CDC. And he said that the virus actually started in the fall, 3 to 4 months before we were told it actually started. And that falls in line with the woman who said that this, the virologist who said that her sources told her that this came out. The people that got it accidentally in the lab were different than those where they intentionally infected people thinking they could control it, and it got out of control. So all this stuff is becoming brand new, and he's saying that Anthony Fauci lied. All right? No one in the media has covered this. We're going to cover it right now.
With Republicans in charge of the House, the rocks are being lifted on the COVID cover-up, and the rot that we see underneath is what we warned you about long ago. Rank corruption at the heart of our federal response. Now, the former CDC director under Trump, Dr. Robert Redfield, was questioned about Anthony Fauci's mad scramble to conceal the role he and others played with greenlighting the funding to the Wuhan lab in China. So what did Redfield think of the paper that Fauci pressured scientists to write back in February 2020? That would conclude ultimately that COVID most likely did not escape from a lab?
This whole approach that was taken, it's antithetical to science.
Thank you.
Science has debate, and they squashed any debate.
Do you think that the paper does hide the truth?
I think it's an inaccurate paper that basically was part of a narrative that they were creating. Remember, this pandemic did not start in January at the seafood market. We now know there was infections all the way back into September. This was a narrative that was decided that they were going to say this came from the wet market, and they were going to do everything they could to support it, to negate any discussion about the possibility that this came from a laboratory.
But wait a second. Anthony Fauci insisted under oath that the gain-of-function research, the riskiest research you can do on a virus, wasn't being done at the Wuhan lab with our help.
Dr. Fauci was affirmatively told in an email that NIAID had a monetary relationship with the Wuhan Institute through EcoHealth Alliance. He was told this in January 27th of 2020. Do you think that Dr. Fauci intentionally lied under oath to Senator Paul when he vehemently denied NIH's funding of gain-of-function research?
I think there's no doubt that NIH was funding gain-of-function research.
Is it likely that American tax dollars funded the gain-of-function research that created this virus?
I think it did, not only from NIH, but from the State Department, USAID, and from DOD.
Okay, do you realize what this all means? Well, not surprisingly, Redfield told the committee that he found himself shut out of key calls early on in the pandemic. And that was when Fauci and company realized that Redfield was not going to toe the party line.
Why do you think you were excluded from those calls?
Because it was told to me that they wanted a single narrative and that I obviously had a different point of view.
All about the science. Well, these sanctimonious camera hounds who flanked Trump day after day in the White House briefing room, these people who were pushing for these damaging lockdowns and smearing good doctors and researchers who knew the truth about inexpensive antiviral treatments, they did more than grandstand on camera, though, these people. Those people destroyed public trust in our public health officials and our entire public health system. So why weren't Fauci, his boss Francis Collins, and their useful idiot Deborah Birx at all interested in discussing what renowned experts were saying about when and how COVID spread? What explains their stunning lack of curiosity?
In September of 2019, three things happened in that lab. One is they deleted the sequences. Mm-hmm. Was highly irregular. Second thing they did was they changed the command and control of the lab from the civilian control to the military control. Highly unusual. And the third things they did, which I think is really telling, is they let a contractor redo the ventilation system in that laboratory.
There must be accountability here. There must be full transparency on the money we funneled to Wuhan. Yeah, all courtesy of you, the U.S. taxpayers. If our own public health officials had a direct or indirect involvement in the research that led to this global pandemic, Merrick Garland, our attorney general, the entire DOJ should be ready to impanel a grand jury. There should be indictments. Oh, no, but remember, he thinks the biggest threat facing the American people are guys like that so-called QAnon shaman they threw in jail. He's the big threat. The big money in medical research from pharma and from the federal government, it has corrupted huge swaths of our scientific community, and it must stop.
The scientific community is very afraid to speak up on political issues. And I think the reason is that the government grants are handed out through this system of peer review committees. Right. And so you don't want any single scientist on your peer review committee to vote against you. This means that they cannot be relied upon in the way that I think we would like them to be independent and forthright, right, and call it as they see it.
For revealing how the sausage is made, by the way, that was the former medical editor of the New York Times, for how the whole scientific hierarchy cares more about their grants than the health of the American people. Nicholas Wade, you just saw there, was attacked by committee Democrats.
Inviting someone with discredited and dangerous views like Mr. Wade's to testify on the origins of this pandemic, which has disproportionately harmed communities of color, is not responsible or credible oversight.
For a race of people who have suffered, endured, and survived three centuries of slavery, oppression, deprivation, degradation, I'm absolutely offended that you would have the opportunity to take this platform and to add anything of significance to it.
But Mr. Wade left out another motivating factor. Well, these figures are smearing him, of course. This is just a textbook, as we've talked about so much on the Ingram angle. More than just the relationship with China that Fauci, et cetera, were protecting, as we found out back in February 2020, what was of utmost importance to Fauci, watch.
I think early on in the outbreak, it was clear that there was some muddling of information. But over the last several weeks, the Chinese authorities have really been very explicit that they were going to not tolerate any misinformation going out.
I'm surprised that you would say that, given what we know about China's pattern of lying about critical issues, Dr. Fauci.
The Chinese scientists we've dealt with, I've dealt with myself personally for years, if not decades, I have faith that they are not distorting things.
So China will not let any misinformation go out. He's reassuring the American public on China's behalf in that interview I did with him in February 2020. The money, the power, the fame, the media's complicity with all of this, and the dangerous and lucrative obsession that so many had in the medical community with this gain-of-function research, that was all more important to all of these people, including Fauci, than coming clean about important facts at every stage of a global pandemic. Joining me now is Dr. Stephen Quay, a physician scientist and author of Stay Safe, A Physician's Guide to Survive Coronavirus. He was one of the first to develop evidence about the lab leak theory. Dr. Quay, good to see you tonight. Now, what do we risk as a people if we allow this type of muddying the waters on the truth at the beginning of a health crisis to continue?
Well, I think it's very clear, Laura, and thank you for having me. SARS-CoV-2, which was survived, but which was an incredible economic and damage, and 1 million Americans died, was a 1% lethal virus. I have established through forensic metagenomic studies inside the Wuhan Institute of Virology since January 2020 that they are working on gain of function with a 30% lethal virus, a 39% lethal virus, and a 60% lethal virus. I'm not sure a society would survive with a 10% or greater virus. So if we don't stop them, it's going to be catastrophic.
So you're saying that the gain-of-function research being done right now, continuing to be done in China and perhaps other places around?
Yes. You heard what he had to say. You've not heard him before. He's an MD, PhD. This is not political. It's scientific. 1% lethality with corona. 1 million dead Americans, 7 million worldwide. And think of the tens of millions injured, hundreds of millions injured. Now imagine that someone, and all this is in China, all this Wuhan, but also in Redfield's testimony yesterday, when asked about Anthony Fauci funding this, he said, yes, Anthony Fauci in the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease and U.S. Public Health Service was funding gain-of-function research, but an Australian person, and we won't, yes, we will. Rodney, would you please get the clip of that Australian award-winning investigative journalist that we have not seen in the United States, who found that Anthony Fauci had supported and paid for 60-plus studies on gain-of-function research, working hand-in-glove with the Chinese Defense Department. This has never been made public, and yet Redfield said it yesterday. And who's funding this? He didn't stop with Fauci and Collins. He said the State Department, there's why it's in Ukraine, and he said the Department of Defense. Oh, Department, you mean the one where the guy was being criticized? Yes. And has he ever once made any statement about gain-of-function research, which is a bioterrorism weapon? No. Now he will be. So we don't even know how many of these, you know, Dr. Strangelove, stupid, insane labs are all over the world. But they do. And now they're being questioned about it. And now this man just told you. You haven't seen him before. This is an exclusive. You haven't seen him. You haven't heard him on the radio. But he's telling you it's already there. So what happens if it accidentally gets out? What happens if it's intentionally released? Game over. Are we going to do anything about it? No. Why not? Because too many people have made too much money, too many scientists have been bought, and too many politicians have been corrupted, and the deep state can't have its hand shown. But there are people who are trying to find this information. I'm looking at the clock, WBI. We got to say goodbye to you. We're going to continue the top of the hour on PRN.live. If you'd like to call in and share your points of what I'm sharing with you, that for the first time, a head of the CDC went against all of the players, and a whole panel of them went against it. He informed us that he knew the truth. It was lab-grown. He knew that it was dangerous. He knew the Department of Defense in China was working on these. He knew that it was dangerous, and so they kept him out of it, kept the head of the CDC out of it. That's Anthony Fauci. That's Collins. And they will be brought in, I can promise you that, to testify under oath. And then the indictment should start. But you're not going to have indictments with a completely captured, completely corrupt Department of the Justice and the FBI. So you start to see when I say how don't trust anyone in power, now maybe you're starting to get a bell ringing in your head and is saying, yeah, this is a problem. I'd like to hear your points of view. 888-874-4888. And let's see if you have something to say here. Now, in the interim, real quick, I just want to mention that coming up, the last 2 weeks, from the 14th to the 27th of May, we're going to have two simultaneous but separate programs. One's going to be for people that want to get, just start over, get your health right this time. Stop taking it for granted. I can introduce you to a lot of people that decided, not today, Gary, but soon. And then one day it's, Gary, I need help. Why? I got congestive heart failure. My buddy Tom, all those big meals you were having, how much overweight are you? 143 pounds. I see. Did you ever think that that much weight would be harmful? I didn't want to think about it. Okay. You do now? Yeah. Because I'm going to die. I got congestive heart failure. Okay. So I helped him reverse that. I can't help every person. But I'm simply saying at some point we have to come to grips with the choices we've made that we shouldn't have and why. To forgive ourselves but learn the lesson so we can get healthy. So one retreat's about learning the lessons of life, getting healthy, meditating, qigong, energy exchange in a positive way that helps heal, and yoga, great meals, juicing throughout the day, counseling with Luann, and it's fun. It's upbeat, very positive. And so that's a good reason to start, because you're with a support group that will help you. All the experts that I'm bringing in, all these people are really ideals of health and happiness. So, you want to join us for that? Good. Or, if you're one of the people 50 and older who want to be a part of our number 6 clinical study, it's very strict, but it's a lot of fun. You're going to be asked to do green time 2 hours a day, meaning go out and sit in nature, go out with the butterflies. We have a butterfly head. Go out and watch the waterfalls in the meditation hut. But don't think about work. There's no cell phones allowed. Be present. And then all the lectures and workshops that come from that. You'll get the most in-depth discussions ever in your life on the aging process. So all that I've learned in my lifetime of studying aging, I'll be sharing with you. And this will be a real clinical study. Now, we have just a basic cost, and I'm working with foundations and other people to try to get money in so we can reduce the cost of the blood workup and some of the other expenses so it can make it easier for people to come. But I don't know that that's going to succeed and to what degree, but at least the event's going to happen for those who want to de-age. So if you care about how you feel, how you look, preventing disease, and adding years onto your life, and I can say that now because we proved it scientifically. A major university proved it. They have the paper. The paper's coming within the next 2 weeks, and we have the results, but the actual lay public understanding of it is going to be published. The other overall study is, my God, did we get people into shape? The results were phenomenal. So if you want to work on your aging and add years to your life, one person in the study, and we don't know who it was because it was all coded, added 6 years onto their biological age, according to the university's methylation test. Where we're adding a new test in addition to the methylation test. We're adding a telomere test in addition. We've got two different anti-aging markers that we're working on right now. This will be the most advanced anti-aging test ever done in American history. And we got a lot of people giving input from the anti-aging communities around the world. So this is a big deal. So if you want to join that, but you got to be disciplined. You can't be a flake. You can't be, yeah, maybe, maybe not. No, we had half of our people drop out the last time, and that was almost completely skewed the results. This time, you're going to go through a whole conversation to make sure that you are positive in mind, disciplined, focused, and not just another senior citizen wanting to do a little bit, but not too much because you're lazy. Okay? You can't be lazy and be a part of this study. Can't be negative and be a part of the study. You can call Luann, 903-881-7008, 903-881-7008 for both, because we're going to do two different approaches simultaneously. All right? Now it's time for Utrecht's Lead.